call to order the Papio Missouri River Natural Resources District Board of Directors meeting for October 12, 2017, 7 p.m. Would you please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. We have the Open Meetings Act posted in the rear. Before we start the meeting, we want to talk about the procedures for tonight's meeting. Prior to turning to the agenda for tonight's meeting, I would like to announce the procedure that will be used for this meeting. With respect to each agenda item, the directors will hear the subcommittee chairperson's report with their proposals and recommendations. Then the public will be given the opportunity to address the board chairperson. Lastly, the directors will discuss the item and take action. All questions and comments will be addressed to the board chair. We ask that the public not interrupt the director's discussion and action. Thank you. Forum call.
Bradley.
Here.
John Thomas.
Here.
Fowler.
Here.
Brunwald.
Here.
Yeah.
Here.
Lacey.
Here.
Here.
Thompson.
Here.
Please.
Here.
Here.
We have an excuse after for Director Poole. Item number four, adoption of agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Roll call.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Brunwald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
Hi. Right. Item number five, adoption of consent agenda.
So moved.
Second.
Motion and second. Any discussion? Roll call.
Fowler.
Aye.
Brunwald.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Thomas.
Yes.
Ancher.
Aye. Item number eight, agency and association reports and presentations. 8A, Natural Resources Conservation Service Report. Neil Jensen.
We just finished with our fiscal year, and now we're just turning around and start all over again. And so with our EQIP program, we've got a sign-up deadline now coming up November 17th. It's actually about a month later than last year, so it's going to give us a little more opportunity to hopefully I'd like to say the farmers are going to be out of the field harvest, but as slow as harvest is starting, I'm not sure they're going to be out by November 17th. Hopefully that'll at least give them a little extra time to come in and, you know, after they've been in their fields and if they see any issues with erosion, that they can come in and sign up. So give you an idea on the EQIP, it is incentives for cost share. So the next page of my report kind of explain, well, how did we do last year? And we ended up with 38 EQIP contracts for over $600,000 on just a little over 5,000 acres. And the practices that are in these contracts is pretty varied. We've got cover crops, terrace systems, a lot of practices on pasture, the brush management, fencing, wells, livestock pipelines and tanks. So we're doing quite a bit on pasture. We're doing high tunnels. Still do several of those. Planting some pollinator habitat on some of the fields. Windbreak renovation and tree plantings. These are usually around farmsteads, taking out the old dead trees and putting in a new system. And through the Lower Elkhorn NRD under the EQIP program, we got a couple of irrigation systems that they are requiring that their producers put meters in. So we're cost sharing on a couple of meters and also doing irrigation water management with a couple of their producers. CSP, we've got 13 contracts this year, over $100,000 payment. These are actual five-year contracts. The old contracts, the payment was the same every year. the new contracts, they're somewhat variable based on the practices that they install that year. But you can see that for those 13 contracts, there's potentially about $500,000 in payment to those participants. And pretty variety of what they're putting out there, doing some grass plantings in pastures, some cover crops, nutrient pest management, some more pollinator habitat, and some forest stand improvements. We get a few of those where they come in and you know, maybe on a forest, clean out some of the undesirable trees, the cedar trees, the thorn locusts, get those out of and try to take it back to maybe what was more natural, your oaks and that type of trees. The last thing I guess I've got here then is we're also having ASEP sign up. This is our wetland restoration program. It's also our land easement program to keep ag land as ag land, as opposed to with this easement, it keeps it from going to urban. And that has a deadline to sign up of December 1st. So, do you have any questions?
Just real quick, Neil. Nationally ranking, where do we rank with EQIC contracts annually, roughly?
I know CSP, we probably rank number one in the nation, having contracts and acres. EQIP, yeah, Texas is probably up there, but we're up there pretty high. You know, we across Nebraska, we've been getting about 22 million acres. Each year, so but, yeah, I don't know off the top of my head what.
I was just curious. I saw number once, and I can't remember what it was.
Yeah,
it seems to get bigger every year.
Yeah,
and Neil, in previous presentations, you've indicated that you're a little bit short-handed, or soon will be. Is that alleviated somewhat, or not?
No. At the end of October, our resource con in Walt Hill is retiring, so that makes three retirements and one staff person that went back to Iowa for a job there. We did, there was a report that had to go into National last Friday giving some of the top 10 replacements in Nebraska, and one of our spots was in that top 10. So, but that's they're just wanting to know what our top 10 is. That's not saying they're going to hire anybody anytime soon. So we have hired a couple of contract employees that helps to leave some of the technical staff in Tecama and Walt Hill. But after Kent leaves Walt Hill, we'll have no NRCS staff in Walt Hill or Tecama. How we're handling it, staff from the other offices are spending days in those other offices to have a presence there. For instance, I'm in Tecama right now more than I am in Omaha, just to have a person there to answer questions.
I got a question. Do you think they will replace that? Those positions, or
well, I think so. But everything's based on budget, and okay. If you can tell me when Congress is going to pass a budget, I could probably tell you what our priorities will be in replacing people. But right now, everything ties back to that. And but yeah, like I said, at least they're asking the question. You know, and a priority nationally is people that are in my position, if those are vacant, getting those replaced, but also what they call a district conservationist with a non-supervisory, which that's our resource cons. Those are a national priority. Well, and that's three of our people that are gone. So at least from a national standpoint, that is a priority of getting those replaced. Place. It's just how much can you afford?
Thanks, Neil. Thank you very much. 8B, Nebraska Association of Resources District, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. The NARD did meet for their annual conference in Kearney on September 24th through 26th. There were two NARD resolutions that were heard, which this board voted for last month. The first being a change allowing NEMA, Nebraska Emergency Management, to reimburse rural water districts for project repair caused by natural disasters. That passed on a vote of 110-0. And the second item, Resolution 2, was a resolution to simplify surface water rights leasing, and that passed on a vote of 89-31. Really wasn't a lot of other controversial items discussed. Later on in the actual NARD meeting, the NARD board did approve a new lobbying contract with a new firm, Zorkowski and Weber, and they will be taking over at the beginning of the year. And Director Thompson, did you want to make some comments about the presentations in 30 seconds or less?
30 seconds, sure. Having attended this conference for as many years as I have, some of it's old hat, some of it, yeah, I won't attend the breakout because I've heard it before, but this year I guess I noticed how strong the relationships are in the business we're in, and not necessarily Papio, but different topics that were brought up. It seems like there's more NRDs involved with more folks or more agencies, whether it be state, federal, or otherwise, to get their jobs at conference. Niobrara River, for example, I think there's seven NRDs trying to get that established so the feds don't take it over, which could bring all sorts of problems. But a good conference, it's always a good chance to learn. Golf was rained out for most of us. We didn't finish, but otherwise, good chance to compare notes with folks.
Mr. Lee, I think you had a question or comment?
Yeah. What was the previous lobbying firm again, and why did they make the change?
Say again?
Yeah, what was the previous lobbying firm, and why did they make the change?
Nauka and Edwards were the current firm, basically, the thought was that we weren't getting enough bang for the buck. Mm-hmm. And so, I mean, it passed, pretty much unanimously. So, that's about the best I can tell you, sir.
Interesting. That's about what I'll say.
That concludes my report, Mr. Chair.
Thanks, Rich. Item 8C, Legislative Report, Mr. Blackwell.
Good evening. This will be brief this evening. I just did want to announce that we have a new addition to our governmental affairs team. Caitlin Reese is going to be joining, or has joined our office. Caitlin is a former staff member to Senator Sue Crawford, and so she adds a good bipartisan addition to our team, and hopefully she'll be here next week, and Tim can introduce you to her in person. Other than that, I just wanted to let you know that Tim Gay has scheduled or requested 20 different individual meetings with state senators, and those will be held in the coming weeks, and he's working on a PowerPoint presentation on the landscape for 2018 that he'll be presenting at the November meeting. Unless there's any questions, that's all I have on that for tonight.
Thank you very much. 8D, presentation on Papio Reservoir Funding, Amanda Grant.
Well, we've, talked a lot about budget and LRIP in the last few months, and so thought it was probably time we talked more about Papio Reservoir Funding and just kind of a reminder on what the plan is for the reservoirs and where we're going with things. We've done some unprecedented moves here by hiring for 60% design of six of the reservoirs at one time. And so just want to show you kind of how that fits in and what the overall plan is. So there's a lot of documents that go into the planning and the projections for reservoir funding, and you've heard this talked about a lot. And the first is the Watershed Implementation Plan. That's the work that the partnership does and then presents to the board and councils of all the entities in the Papillion Creek Watershed Partnership. Then we have our long-range implementation plan. We have some interim planning projections, spreadsheets that we use internally, and then the fiscal year budget. So I wanted to just talk about the watershed management plan. So, you know, that was originally completed in 2009. There was an update in 2014. It gets updated every 5 years, so 2019 will be the next update. And this is what was approved by the board and all the entities in the partnership for a long-term plan. And it goes, you can see, out to 2050. And this is an economic projection, and it's a pay-as-you-go. And that was the process that we determined was the best way to go about funding these. You save up the money. The only sources of income are the watershed fees that are collected from the developers and a contribution from the general fund of the NRD tax money, and that is represented in these two lines, and that is collected when there's enough money to build a project. It shows a project gets constructed and so on and so forth, and you can see we don't get everything built, but many projects by 2050. So that's a lot to handle all at once. It's a lot of money, and it's over a long term. So every 5 years, there's this implementation period that comes back to the board and all the councils, and that sets that priority projects for those 5 years. So everything out here is a projection, you know, of course, and it hasn't been set as a priority. The set priorities are what's in this first 5 years. And this is still our plan. I know we've done a lot of different things here and there, but our plan is still pay as you go, save up the money for a structure, and build it. And right now we're in this implementation period where we're building WP 6 and 7. We did move Zirinsky Basin 2, which was way back here, into this five-year planning period. And the other thing to note is watershed fees, the collected fees are estimated. This is from our economic projection of what build out, and that comes at time of building permit, so we look at plats and when those are expected. That hasn't been as high as we thought either, so what all of that does is it just stretches out this timeline for the pay-as-you-go. So this is still, that's our overarching plan. That's what we're following. We've talked about the LRIP, and it's on the agenda tonight. And really for this, I just wanted to show you how, you know, this is a planning tool, and I know Eric's mentioned that on Tuesday night as well, but the highlighted items are really what goes into the Papio reservoirs, those categories. And, you know, the greenish color is where our implementation period ends, and the orange is the start of the next five-year implementation period for the partnership. So just wanted to give you a visual of how you can see, since the partnership hasn't set a priority here, this is all just a projection for us. We have some numbers that we fill in based on doing some projects, but these are just projections, and they're never really going to match our budgets because that's exactly what they are. They're planning, and they haven't been set by the partnership and the board and the councils yet. So then the next step after these five-year long-range implementation plans, we do these interim planning projections. And I know these numbers are tiny. They're important numbers, but it's not really that important that you know them right now for tonight. But there's a lot of these because they just represent different scenarios. This is kind of what we use in-house to work out different scenarios. The first one that I've shown right here is the first one that comes up on my computer when I open it, and that's what are our commitments. What have we committed to? What is the board committed to as far as land purchases, construction contracts, design contracts? So we keep track of for what for each fiscal year, you know, what we've actually committed to. And then from there, we have a balance down here that we keep track of. From there, we use this as a tool to show, can we shorten this in from 2050 to 2030? How much more money would we have to contribute? How much more money would the watershed fees have to be? how much if we got grant money. We use this a lot for what if we get a big grant, like the Water Sustainability Fund. What does that do to our funding? And we use these interim projections just as that tool. There's a lot of different scenarios that we use, but if you would like to see any of them or talk about those anymore, I'd be happy to. But the things that go into changing all those interim projections, I wanted to talk about here because really the only thing we have to play with there, I mean, we have estimated costs. The only thing we have to play with is the funding for these. And the bonding, we haven't taken into account in any of this because we really have used that money on Prairie Queen and Dam Site 15A. So this is really the pay-as-you-go. Our funding sources are watershed fees and the general fund, and then whatever grant opportunities. And we, to date, you know, haven't had a whole lot of those except for the Water Sustainability Fund, which was a huge, huge win for us. That was $6.7 million, or 60% of the cost for the land, construction, and engineering for WP 6 and 7. So that made a big impact on, you know, our planning and our projections. And then I just listed a few others because I just wanted everyone to know what we have going on, but also to thank you for the opportunity that we had when we were able to do that unprecedented, you know, design 60% for six structures, because it's allowed us to really opened up some grant opportunities for us because we're far enough down the path of some of these that we have better numbers. We can commit to, you know, these infrastructure projects that are on quick timelines, things like that. We have in the works right now, we have an NRCS RCPP application for that would be 100% of the fund of the construction and engineering for WP1, that structure. It made it through the first cut. We're waiting to, we submitted the second full proposal. We're waiting to hear. We also submitted on a watershed basis for another NRCS program that has kind of been defunct for a while, hadn't had any federal funding. They got federal funding, and we needed to turn around an application in 2 weeks' time. We had a lot of that information available, so we were able to put in an application. This involves two flood control reservoirs in that. And then we did two separate applications to the Corps of Engineers for watershed planning, which gets your foot in the door for them to fund some, put some federal dollars in this flood control project. And then lastly, we're working on a FEMA flood mitigation assistance grant. They've opened up the types of projects that they're willing to fund, and so the WP4 structure is one of those that now fits that criteria, so we've been working to get funding there. But then just lastly, to sum up, and I know this is all a lot, and if there's ever any questions, John or I or Marlon would be happy to talk with anybody, but you know, our reality every year is the budget. So we have all those planning tools, but what it, you know, when it comes down to doing our budget for the fiscal year, that's, you know, that's our reality and that's what we have to work with. This is just the line from our FY18 budget for the watershed fund. You know, we've got income, we've got expenses, and then this bottom number here is that's the number that comes out of the general fund to go into the watershed fund. And so all the projects that get constructed get built with the watershed fund money. So this number, you know, we're operating on the basis that, you know, pay as you go. There's a pretty equal contribution from the general fund that goes in, you know, every year, you know, a $4 million-ish number that goes in to build these structures. So that's what we have to work with. There's no, we couldn't build all six of those reservoirs at once without that number being just enormous. So I just wanted everyone to see kind of where that number goes. What we operate on whatever money we carry over, whatever was in the general fund, and then whatever we receive from watershed fees and grants. And that's all, you know, shown in the watershed fund. So there was that opportunity to do the design, which was great. And I think it's really, and even just as of last week, I think John had gotten a call from the state and said, what projects do you have, infrastructure projects that could be ready in 6 months? And we had a list of 12 out the next day. And so, you know, definitely infrastructure projects that are shovel ready is important right now.
I can add to that, Amanda, the funding. Yeah. So not only did the administration reached out to the governor to get a list of infrastructure projects, water and highway projects that were within that window, but also we have a proposal going to Congressman Fortenberry and Senator Fisher regarding infrastructure funding. And the fact that we've got six projects that will be 60% designed in the spring is huge. And we're going to the federal agencies, and basically we're requesting $5 million a year for 10 years and to help design and construct those infrastructure projects. And so having all of our ducks in a row, we're far and above and ahead of everyone. And so we're going to go to FEMA, we're going to go to the Corps, we're going to say, we have projects. If you want projects, this is what we need, and we can build them. And so we'll be meeting with Congressman Fortenberry. Our lobbyists will meet with them next week, and then we'll do a personal presentation to the congressman and to the senator after that. And then, of course, we'll make our rounds with like FEMA and the Corps to say, you know, if you want an infrastructure package, you want something successful, here we set the table for you. So that was just news that we've got this week. So we're aggressively pursuing that, and I know the federal government is also very interested in getting projects built, and so we just need to match that up. That's what we're doing.
So I mean, we're being very aggressive about trying to find funding to move things forward, but with even the design of those six structures, I mean, we're still, you know, if there's no grant money and there's no influx of money, even though it's designed, it still goes back in its slot for pay as you go.
Questions? Thank you.
Okay. Well, first off, thank you to Amanda and staff for giving us this presentation, because I know we asked for it, and it's been very educational. So when we moved, a few questions, when we moved Sierinski 2 up, we had the money to do that pay-as-you-go because of the grant that we received for 6 and 7. Is that how we were able to move that up? Because, I mean, it's still showing it way back in 2050. Are we going to adjust this slide to show where it is now? Or
The Sierinski Basin, when the landowners came that year, and I think it was two fiscal years ago, and the board raised the tax levy, so there was more contribution into the watershed fund.
Yes, we were able to do that.
Okay. The levees along the Missouri River, the Offutt levees, when we passed this in 2014, we didn't know those expenditures. Does that affect this at all, or is that all in general?
We've accounted for all that. It doesn't. It would have affected it. It would have been a $25 million hole, but obviously we got about 90% of it covered, so it's already in. It's already calculated in.
Okay. And I'd be interested, would also be interested in what the rest of the partnership would feel like. How you said there's only a certain amount of tools that you can play with, continue to pay as you go. What kind of projections we've done with increasing watershed fees at different levels, and rather than just growing it based off of inflation, which I'm sure come 2018, next year, that there's probably going to be some kind of look at the watershed fee. So I don't know if you guys have projections, you can share more later on, but just so the rest of the board knows, I'd be very interested in that. And that's something that the board has heard probably me say multiple times in my 4 or 5 years here. Another thing, I think we have one last year to take a crack at the bonding authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to know, are we going to do that? I know that we went to the public in a vote for a greater bonding authority, and that was rejected by a very, very slim margin in a primary election, which I think was silly at the time. But are we going to try to get just our original bonding authority, what's the word I'm looking for, just reauthorized? So when we do pay down these original bonds, then we can go and reuse them again, or is that just completely off the table? And what's the...
Well, obviously up to the board if you want to go for reauthorization. If the majority of the board wants to do that, we can do that. I can say that with the current environment in the legislature, it will be tough, but not impossible, because we've already had it, and it would basically be extending it. So it would be a difficult fight, but if that's what the board wants to do, we can surely go and ask for a 5-year extension or 10-year extension or whatever they're willing to do. So
I'm just going to put my 2 cents out on the board. We don't obviously have to do anything right now. We have some time to get our ducks in a row, but I think that is a smart strategy, because we have had it before. We used it responsibly, as we're going to talk to the bond folks today. We're going to refinance some and save the taxpayers money again, which is like the third or fourth time that's happened. So I would think that maybe there'd be some state senators who would say, yeah, you know what, they're doing the responsible thing with this funding. They're able to move ahead these projects and save money over the long term, and they can do it within their current mill levy, so we are not raising property taxes. And the folks who say, yeah, if you bond something, you are raising property taxes years and years out, I mean, take a look at this. If we have to do pay as you go, we're pretty much stuck at this mill levy or something higher to accomplish these. So why not get those projects done sooner, receive the benefits of them sooner? So that's just something I'm putting out there to the rest of the board publicly, and I think you guys can take your time to chew it over before then we go to staff with a formal proposal.
Any questions of Amanda? Any more questions of Amanda? Thanks very much. Item number 9, public hearing and proposed right-of-way acquisition, Arlington Buyout Project, Lori Lasser.
Actually, start the hearing and then I'll call the order.
Okay, you did call the order?
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. We'll call the hearing to order at, I can't read that clock, 7:31 p.m. The agenda item, the third agenda item, is evidence of proof of publication of the hearing notice, which I have here. Item 4, explanation of the purpose of the hearing. Adam Charlson. Oh, Steve Rouse, sorry.
Adam was ready in case.
All right. Didn't know you'd be back.
This hearing is being conducted in compliance with Nebraska Revised Statute, Section 2504. At this hearing, the Papillion Missouri River Natural Resources District will explain the nature and necessity for the proposed right-of-way acquisition for the Arlington Buyout Project and the reason for selecting this particular location. Each owner of property to be acquired by the district has the right to be represented by an attorney and to negotiate and accept or reject the offer made by the district for the proposed acquisition. Per the terms of the federal grant, the district cannot use or threaten to use eminent domain to acquire the property for the project. Therefore, the property acquisition for this project are all voluntary. At this hearing, the district will hear and consider any objections from any person.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Agenda item 5 is the identification of the exhibits. Exhibit 1 is the agenda itself. Exhibit 2 is approved publication of the hearing notice in the Pilot Tribune on October 3rd, 2017. Exhibit 3 is October 5th, 2017 public hearing notice and information packet sent to landowner certified mail. Exhibit 4 is a certified mail receipt for information packet mailed to landowners. We haven't received the receipts yet, but we talked to landowners and they did, in fact, get the information. Exhibit 5 is the map of the projects. Agenda item 6 is the explanation and purpose of the scope of the project. Lori Lester.
Good evening. The district is proposing the acquisition and demolition of 2 residential properties in Arlington, Nebraska. The purpose of the project is to remove structures that have been repeatedly flooded and allow the residents to move to a new home with lower flood risk. In April 2016, the district and the Village of Arlington entered into an interlocal agreement for this project. The agreement called for the district to apply for a FEMA flood mitigation assistance grant. That grant will cover 100% of the cost for one property and 90% of the cost for the other property. The grant was approved in March of 2017. These two properties were chosen because they have been repetitively flooded and damages have been documented with FEMA. The Flood Mitigation Assistance Grant stipulates that we cannot use eminent domain to acquire these properties. The purchase offer will be determined by a licensed real estate appraiser. The owners then have the option to accept the offer, appeal the offer with a different appraisal, or reject the offer. If the purchase offers are accepted, the structures will be demolished and the lots will remain in open space in perpetuity through deed restrictions.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Post. Item 7, received testimony and statements. Is there anyone in the audience that would like to provide any input or statement for this public hearing? Second request? Third and final request? Anyone? Okay. Item 8, reception of exhibits, and we will adjourn the hearing at 7:35 p.m. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Item number 10, subcommittee reports. 10A, personnel, legislative, and public affairs subcommittee. I'm on board. Agenda item, be it resolved that the minutes of the October 10, 2017 meeting of the personnel, legislative, and public affairs subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendation of the subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. Number one, 2017 market analysis of district job descriptions. Recommendation that the 2017 market analysis as presented to the subcommittee be approved. Is anyone in the public who wishes to speak to this item? Suppose we can have a motion. Any questions by the directors? Roll call.
Brumwell.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Aye. I think that's all of the recommendation from the committee. Item 10B, Programs, Projects, and Operations Subcommittee, Director John Conley.
Our Vice Chairman is going to take that out of a sore throat tonight, Mr. Chairman.
He resolved the minutes of the October 10, 2017 meeting of Programs, Projects, Operations Subcommittee, accepted and incorporated in the minutes following recommendations. Subcommittee hereby adopted and approved. Item 1, bids for 2018 district vehicles equipment. Recommendation following bids be accepted. Bid 1, bid item A. One crew, 2018 crew cab, four-wheel drive, half-ton pickup truck. Recommended the lowest and best bid of $21,246 from Gene Steffi. As it stated on the board. And then I bid item B to 2018 SUV 8-wheel drive vehicles, as stated on the board, be accepted, and the subcommittee so approves.
Anyone wish to comment on the items? If not, we can have a roll call.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
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 Bradley.
Yes.
Johnson.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Yes.
And?
Aye.
Item 2, Big Pappy Levy Culvert Phase 2 Rehab Project, interlocal agreement, City of Omaha. Recommendation that general manager be authorized to execute the Big Pappy Levy Culvert Phase 2 Rehab Project, interlocal agreement, City of Omaha, subject to changes in the deemed necessary by general manager approval. That's for my district legal counsel on the subcommittee, so approved.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Public hearing is closed. Directors? Roll call.
Yes.
Excuse me. It's okay.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I keep looking for signatures and dates on these documents. That means they're not legal. This board can't vote for illegal documents. So my motion is to table
legal documents.
Can't sign a legal. Excuse me. You cannot sign a legal. Because they're drafts, they're not a legal document. We cannot approve a draft.
You have to approve it before you sign. I can't sign something the board doesn't approve, and neither can the city. for the law. I'm not a lawyer. No. But.
You can bring it back signed. You can't sign it. We can sign it down.
Do you want to direct that to the legal counsel?
I guess my understanding is the board needs to approve this before they can sign. If they signed them before the board approved, then it wouldn't have to work.
Okay. Roll call.
We'll give it.
No. You got another question?
Yes. He had a motion.
They had a motion.
Did the. I don't think anyone second.
Okay.
You know. Is there a second to the motion?
I didn't quite hear the first part. I couldn't quite hear you because you went to the microphone. Why you wanted to table it? Can you repeat that?
Mr. Chairman, may I interrupt? There's no discussion on a motion to table.
Right. But can I hear it? I didn't quite hear the motion.
The motion is to table.
Table.
Motion is to table.
Yeah.
Oh, just to table.
Okay. Mm-hmm. It died for lack of a second. So, roll call.
Yes.
No. I'm sorry.
What are we voting on?
Oh, wait, what's the, I'm
sorry. We're voting on the original motion, right?
Oh, original motion, yeah, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thompson. No, I can't.
Yes, I voted on the original motion.
Yeah.
Yes.
John
yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hi.
I'm three interlocal agreement City Papillion for West Papillion Creek Levy Accreditation Recommendation. General Manager be authorized to execute the proposed interlocal agreement with the City of Papillion for Phase 1 of the West Papillion Levy Accreditation with a maximum not to exceed district contribution of $167,152, subject to changes deemed necessary by the general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel and the subcommittee so approves.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
Peter.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Reese.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runwell.
No.
Yeah.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Jefferson.
Aye.
And four, FY 2018 Long Range Implementation Plan, LRIP. Recommendation fiscal year 2018 Long Range Plan Implementation Plan be approved and the subcommittee so recommends.
Anyone from the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Roll call.
No, wait.
No, I'm just going to add what a great plan it was. Eric did a great presentation. Was oh. Eric? Huh?
Okay.
And a good plan as we go forward. Thanks. That's all.
Roll call.
Okay.
Yes.
Keith.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runwell.
No.
Jack.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Keith.
Yes.
Aye.
Bless you. Five, Western Douglas County Trail Change Order to Professional Service Contract with FAQ for Environmental Review. Recommendation Board adopt a resolution provided by NDOT authorizing General Manager to execute a supplemental agreement between District and FAQ for NEPA Engineering Service for the West Douglas County Trail for cost not to exceed $44,700.07. Subject to changes deemed necessary by general manager and approval as to form by district legal counsel. Subcommittee so approved.
Anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? Directors?
For those that don't know what a NEPA is on our board and staff, Nebraska Environmental.
National Environmental Protective.
Okay. The National or Nebraska?
National.
Okay, national. What's the Nebraska form we're talking about? We're the only state in the union that requires an environmental form, a 44-page form. NEPA?
NEPA? Yeah, NEPA.
This one is federal.
NEPA is required all over.
Okay. Well, there's a form that the state of Nebraska requires to the federal highway to any trail project. And this goes back, and I wish I had the history in front of me. It just came up earlier today. But this is a general comment that that form, which is costly for engineers to fill out, for staff to review and all that. I'm not making any kind of motion, but kind of a heads up. I think we ought to work on getting that form eliminated for the state of Nebraska because it's not doing any good. So it's not, I guess it isn't the NEPA form, but I wish I had it in front of me, but I don't. I apologize. But just comment on that.
Let us know what it is. Let us know what it is.
Okay, if we do get rid of this form, does it create a can of worms somewhere for us?
It's this NEPA thing. It would take us ages.
This is kind of a side from this movie.
Yeah, we're not going to get rid of it.
So it has to have?
Yeah.
Is there any way we can make it cheaper?
That's how we got 7 cents on there. They didn't round up. That's about it.
Roll call, Gene.
Please.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runwald.
Yes.
Jeff.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Easy.
Yes.
Yes. Hi. Thank you, Director Thompson.
Thank you. That concludes our report.
Jim C., Finance, Expenditure, and Legal Subcommittee, Director Rich Teaser.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Be it resolved, the minutes of the October 10, 2017 meeting of the FEL Subcommittee are accepted, incorporated in these minutes, and the following recommendations of the Subcommittee are hereby adopted and approved. One, refinance flood protection and water quality enhancement bond, Series 2018. Partial advance refunding of Series 2013. Recommendation that the resolution calling the district's outstanding flood protection water quality enhancement bond Series 2013 for redemption prior to maturity, and the resolution authorizing the issuance of flood protection water quality enhancement refunding bond Series 2018 in the amount of $8 million for the purpose of paying and redeeming the district's outstanding Series 2013 bond and related matter be approved. Now, this resolution is 23 pages long. Now, I can sit here and read that, but we probably missed the Cubs and Nationals, and the Cubs are winning right now 1-0. So I hope you'll...
How do you know this?
I have
clairvoyance?
Yeah.
Okay.
And so with your permission, I will not read it.
Okay, does this mean no?
This is the public hearing.
I move adoption.
Move adoption. Anyone in the public wish to speak to this item? Directors? Roll call.
Jesus.
Yes.
Thompson.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Conley.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runwald.
No.
Jack.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
And Chair Pussman.
Aye. That concludes the finance report. Item number 11, Treasury Report. Are you reporting on this?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I thought you were.
Okay. Treasury Report consists of items 10A through 10J inclusive, and I move their approval.
This is the public hearing. Anyone wish to speak to the item? Do we need a second for that? We don't need a second.
No.
Anyone wish to speak?
We do.
Is that a motion or a second? Anyone in the public wish to speak to the item? Directors? Okay. Roll call.
Dan Conley.
Yes.
Allen.
Yes.
Brian
Wall. Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Tom.
Yes.
Lee.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
And that concludes that report.
Thank you, Director Conley. Item number 12, legal update. We have a legal update.
Would you like to go to executive session, or would you like to?
Well, I think we need to go into executive session. Then. Do we have a motion to that effect?
Move to go into executive session.
Sorry. For the purpose, I'm going to state the purpose of going into executive session.
For the purpose to get a legal update.
Ongoing litigation involving.
To discuss ongoing litigation involving the district.
Okay. A second.
Second.
care to clarify?
Roll call.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runwell.
No.
Jeff.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yes.
Austin.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Thomas.
Yes.
Hi.
Okay.
I'll make the motion that we go back into regular session.
Yes. Is anyone? This is for public. Are people coming back in? They all leave.
They're watching
again.
Ben's back.
Okay.
Bill's back.
Okay. We have a motion and a second. Can we have a roll call vote on that?
What are we voting on? Yes, to come out of executive session?
Yeah, yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Leahy.
Yes.
Caesar.
Yeah.
Tom.
Yes.
Peace.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Thomas.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Chairperson.
Okay. Hi. Item number 13, Chairperson's Report. I think we've got the dates for Board of Directors meetings for 2018. Anyone have any questions about those dates? Got a motion to adopt. Have a second?
Second.
Any discussion of board members about it? Roll call.
Yeah.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Yes.
Peter.
Yes.
Bradley.
Yes.
John Thomas.
Yes.
Fowler.
Yes.
Runwell.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Item number 14, General Manager.
Mr. Chairman, attached for your reviews, the information and education report for September. Some personnel miscellaneous items. There's a letter here from the Corps of Engineers commending our staff for the condition of the park. The Corps does an annual inspection. It consistently rates far above what they have other properties that they own. So hats off to Bill Warren and his people for continually keeping the park well-maintained. John Wilson, banquet chair of the Burke County Pheasants Forever chapter, sent a thank you note to Terry Schumacher for our support of their annual banquet. 22 members of the Bennington Skills USA Club met at Prairie View Lake on Saturday, September 23rd, and did a cleanup of trash around the lake. This obviously was in cooperation with the NRD and the Bennington Skills USA chapter, and is sponsored by Larry Klaus and Tom Schumacher. Don't know if that's a relation. Sure it is.
His brother.
Yes, his brother. Okay. So thanks for a family get together there for a little cleanup. A sad note, Ross Hoppeck, if you remember him, he worked for the district for a number of years from 2008 to 2015. He passed away at the age of 30. So our thoughts and condolences with his family. We did forward a card from the employees with some donations, and Gene attended the memorial. And some of the directors, too. So thank you, everyone, for contributing, and a very sad note. Matt McBride from Pink Grill Events sent an email to Eric Williams thanking him for the district support for the market-to-market relay. And the district included $222,000 of fiscal year 2018 budget for the construction of the O&M equipment shed south of the existing O&M building at Chaco. This will be a 75-foot by 200-foot post-frame shed with one open side to use to store our district equipment. We do have some pic photos, I believe. Is Mr. Cleveland going to go through those, or Martin? Or Marlon? Martin? Okay.
This is looking west from the boulevard as you come into the park, so we're faced directly west. Go back to the last photograph. So the current building, O&M building, which is actually a maintenance building where we service some equipment, is on the right-hand side. You see houses kind of behind it. So the new side is actually right now a grove of trees. So it's basically, you know, trees that are right below that arrow.
It's on the other side of that road.
Yeah. This is actually where the site that the new building is going to go. It's again an open front type building for storing equipment. The existing building is over here, and it goes quite a ways north, but I couldn't get it all in the same picture. And so next photograph, this is looking then south. In the existing building, looking at where the location of the building would be at. Trees are a mixture of mulberries, cedar, and then pine trees, basically. So we'd have to clear those trees out to do the soil borings, first of all. And then, of course, eventually there would be fill hauled in to actually build the building. So it's kind of a combination of sequence of events, but they can't do borings through trees. So that step would
be... Have you done the environmental impact study?
We've actually submitted this to the Corps for approval, as a side note. Nick's photograph, if you wouldn't mind. This is one of the reasons why we're doing the project. This is just a fraction of the machines that the district actually has. It set outside. It's kind of like a farmer. You know, you have equipment that's sitting outside. Over time, it deteriorates. It's, you know, paint's going to deteriorate. Everything else deteriorates on it. So this equipment, which sometimes it's, of course, on job sites, but other times it's actually here at the shop, can be put in this shed and then preserved from being, you know, basically deteriorating. Nick's photograph. This is an example off the web. This isn't the building, actually, but it's similar. It's, you know, it's going to have 10 to 20-foot stalls, so 200 feet long. So this is roughly what the building's going to look like. It won't be red, as a side note. I know even though everybody wants red here, it's going to be probably brown because that's what everything else around here is brown. And then Nick's picture, actually the last one, there should be a plan view. If you can't find it, that's fine. It was like a plan view. Okay, that's fine. Anyway, the process.
Can you find that?
It's PDF.
In our binder. Pardon?
We have it now.
It's in our binder.
Oh, it's in the binder?
Yeah.
Okay. Anyway, it was already described where it's at. So the next step, of course, would be to go out for bids in November. And then in December, the board would review those bids. And then here's a picture. Yeah, this is what I should have showed first. But existing building is right here. And this is, of course, vacant land right now. It's going to be residential at some point. But this is proposed building site. And there's gravel, you know, in front of it to get in the building. So we'll have a good buffer around the edges of existing trees. And we are required by the Corps to replant the same amount of trees we destroy, with the exception of mulberries and cedars. You're not required to replace those, but we'll replace 100 trees.
The dash line is the tree clearing.
Yeah, the dash line is actually the tree clearing line. So the amount of fill to build this building, because it's got to be on a level spot, is going to reach out to this limit. So we are going to have to replace those trees with other trees on the somewhere in the park area. This is on leased property. The district actually leases this from the U.S. government. And so the property is actually free as far as use of the property. And we were kind of surprised, quite honestly, the Corps actually was willing to agree to this, because in the past they haven't been willing to agree to anything like this. But it does serve the park, and so that's why they finally decided to approve it. So a good thing for the government to save money.
The original building you see to the north there, where the shop is now, Corps at that time, 25 years ago, told us we couldn't put a building in the park. They changed their mind, allowing it. We think that's good. That's why we had to buy that.
This equipment covers what kind of radius?
It covers mostly the south three counties, Washington, Sarpy, and Douglas, because everything north is really in Wall Hill. So it's tractors like you use to mow. It's all heavy equipment, a lot of trailers, all the stuff for park maintenance. There's things like skid loaders and things like that can be put in this shed. Right now,
is there room in there for our cars when a hailstorm comes?
There could be. I'll take all the equipment out of it.
So we know in advance.
So pretty simple building. It's going to have three sides and a roof, and that's there's no water, no pavement in it. It's just going to have probably well have lights in it, but that's about it. It's a real basic building.
So the schedule is to competitive bids in November, and then board approval of those in December.
December.
Yeah. So thank you, Martin.
Yep, thank you.
Any more questions for Martin?
Okay.
Also, as part of the report is the purchases, construction services, professional service, personal property, as well as the current ongoing project with the district legal counsel are attached for your review. Partnership meeting for September 28, 2017 is attached. The next partnership meeting is scheduled for October 26, 2017, 10 a.m. here at the NRC building. And there's also some print broadcasts and social media highlights as part of the report for your review. And that concludes my report.
Thank you.
Thank you.
John, item 15 is informational items. Our next meeting is November 9th, 2017.
here at the office. We are adjourned.